I could provide the sheriff some more insight with you. Praise the Lord, and shame on the devil.
Amen.
All right, let's, it's definitely been an eventful week. So, it cracks me up that where we're doing our study today is in the book of Romans, chapter 13. If you know anything all about the number 13, it is Satan's number for rebellion. Yes?
Just want to let you know my paycheck today had 4 sixes in a row.
Had what?
4 sixes in a row. So
right.
We're on a good roll for Satan today.
I think you should throw
in the garbage. There was a 7 at the end, though. If I tied it, will it be okay?
Or you can just give it to me.
Loves everybody.
Oh, yeah, John. Loves you.
All right. Okay, let's turn to Romans 13:1. Okay, Romans 13:1. Well, let's just read the one verse together. That's probably all the further we'll get, but it's okay, because it lays the foundation for the rest of the chapter. And we'll see if we can plumb the depths of this and have some fun. Okay, Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers,
which is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and start with the word prayer. Now, Jenny, I'll let you have the word prayer for us.
Oh, okay. Well, Lord, thank you for another day to live and serve you. Please bless our time of fellowship today and bless the lesson that Dad's about to bring. May we all learn something from it and be challenged to do better for you through it. And in your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. We have figured out the book of Romans was probably written around 56, 57 A.D., somewhere in that time frame. And little did Paul know that in 64 A.D., Nero would come to power. And Nero was the first Roman emperor to go ahead and start persecution of Christians. So when we read this here, he's already preparing the people, Christians and Roman everything, as far as what's going to happen, even though he did not know what was going to happen. Just a little bit about Nero. He came to power in 64 A.D. and he left in 68 A.D. In order for him to become king, his mom killed the other emperor, had him killed. And then on top of it, his mom had two other people that could succeed, half-brothers, and she had them killed. What a mother. Fascinating. Nero himself started off good in his first year or two, helping out the common people, and then somehow he went mentally insane. I'm not too sure how that occurred, but we can study scripture and the Lord could reveal it to us if we so desire. He used to roam the streets of Rome at night and just randomly kill people. He was one that had Christians dipped in the tar and used them as lamps for his games in the Colosseums. He's the one that had Rome burned down. They burnt down 10 out of 14 districts and blamed it on the Christians. And it was under Nero's reign that Paul and Peter was crucified upside down and Paul was beheaded. This guy was quite a bit. So we take a look at the scripture verse here. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let's take a look at Ezekiel. Who's got, someone take a look at Ezekiel 18:4, and then someone get Acts 17:30.
We have Ezekiel
18:4. Yeah.
Was the other Acts 17:30?
Yeah, Acts 17:30.
Okay, you can do a Jenny thing.
18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinned, that shall die.
Yes. You notice in there, God says, every soul is mine. Every soul. When we look in here, every soul in here belongs to God. When we walk down the street here, walk around Worthington, every soul belongs to God. When you go into a store, every soul belongs to God. Anyone you see on TV, whether it's Hollywood or politics, whatever you see, every soul belongs to God. He's got X 17:30.
That's neat. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
How about that? God, through Paul preaching on Mars Hill, commands every man to repent. He just doesn't pick a select few and say, okay, we'll just have these, and the rest of you can't. Every single man has the ability to repent. Everyone. So when we read in here, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, it is talking about everybody. It is nailing it right on the head. Let's take a look at Numbers 27, and I'll read that one. Numbers 27, verses 16 and 17. Oh, here we go. Okay. Verse 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Get that? All flesh. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why? Because in our text here, for there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God. God ordains higher powers.
So there's no exceptions. I can't accept being an exception and not obey. Is that the point there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time.
That's right. That's right.
And of course, in my notes here in Numbers 27, I have Matthew 9:36. Who's got Matthew 9:36?
I'll look it up.
Go ahead, Johnny. Yeah. Actually, if you read verses 35 to 38, you can be allowed to clear on that. That'd be great.
Okay, so
36
to
38? 35 to 38.
Okay. Here we go.
Yep.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen. Notice one thing in those verses. First of all, he went to all villages. Look how big the size of Israel is. In 3.5 years, he covered all the villages. Every single one. There was not a single village on Judgment Day that will say, well, you didn't come to my village. And you just go, yes, I did. I had the gospel, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It was present in every single village, every city. And what did he see out there? He saw the multitude as sheep without a shepherd. Now, how many synagogues were there in that time? How many places had the houses of worship in all those villages and cities? And he said they were sheep without a shepherd. Meaning, the people that was in charge of the synagogues did not know the Word of God. Because the Word of God showed up on their doorstep and they rejected Him. They did not know the Word of God. And our prayer here for you at BBF and abroad is that you get to know God. Not us. Get to know the God of the Bible. He's real. This is the only book on the planet where the author is alive. I like reading Sherlock Holmes, but the author died. And if I don't miss my guess, he went down. All right? I can't talk to him. I can read what he wrote, but he didn't make it, guys. But I can read this book every day. Every day, the author's alive and he talks to me. And I asked him to. I asked him when I pick up the book. I said, Lord, here I am. I said, Lord, please talk to me. Please teach me out of your book. Open up my eyes. And open up your heart. Because you read through the scriptures, there are times when God closes his heart. And said, nope. Saul, there was a time when Saul was seeking for the Lord, and the Lord would not even answer him, wouldn't even talk to him. Why? Because Saul had disobeyed the book, there was no repentance, and he was just trying to save his skin. He did not open his heart. That's one of the scary. You go to Proverbs chapter 1. Read about those people there that's ready to die. They are in terror, and God does not open his heart to help them out because they rejected him. They only tried to save their skin. Let's not ever get into a position like that where we can't cry out and ask the Lord to talk to us and ask the Lord to help us out. And we need to keep our sins on a daily basis on the short list. You know, and just ask the Lord every day. Everything that God does is through his mercy for us. And every day I thank him for mercy.
Amen.
Let's take a look at, and of course you notice, what was his prayer out of Matthew 9:35-38? What was this prayer? To send forth laborers into the harvest. And guys, America at this point, there's more Bible knowledge around than there ever has been in the entire history. And there's never been a time where the people of the United States do not know God. Do not know him. You'll hear him quote the verses, but it's not in their heart. Not in their heart. It's a fake game they're playing. I was just sharing with my family the other day. There's a guy that plays Doctor Strange. Bert Cumberbatch.
Benedict. What's the last part, Johnny?
I think it's Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch. I didn't know he was an ordained minister. Now, yeah. Is he saved and going to heaven? No. Jenny.
Do you want to explain how he's an ordained minister?
There's a website where you send $20 in, put your name on it, and now you become ordained. Not by God, by the website. Paul McCartney's an ordained minister. How about that? You wouldn't guess it from his left viewpoints. Not iota. Guys, the Lord Jesus Christ says the field out there is right. COVID-19 right now, if I have my stats right, 38% of the churches in America will close their doors permanently. Permanently. Now, if they're not preaching the gospel, you and I can rejoice.
Amen.
All right? But the fact is, how many people out there don't have a church and don't have gospel? The Lord wants us to get involved in the communities wherever we're at and share the gospel of Christ. He said it's ripe out there. And if we don't take the time to try to get involved in the lives of the people around us, they don't have any hope at all which are going to happen. They have no hope of knowing the Lord. Take the opportunity and ask the Lord for boldness. Paul, I think it's in Ephesians 6, was asking prayer for boldness. So here's a guy that's a seasoned saint, and he was asking for boldness. And I understand that because every time that I've gone out to lead people to Christ for salvation, I get the butterflies in the stomach. Why? Because I'm entering Satan's territory. And it doesn't matter how many times I've gone out, I'm going out into Satan's territory. And so you have to have boldness. Because sometimes you look at their faces and they just want to crunch you. And of course, that's when you read Jeremiah chapter 1 where the Lord says to Jeremiah, don't look at their face. Look at the heart. Look at the heart. And you can get by it. Ask God for boldness. He'll give it to us. A little group we're here, we're not going to win the entire world. We know that. But we can pray. We can get out there. And our job is to broaden the message. It's God's job to broaden the ministry. Let's take a look at... Okay. The next part of the verse here. Be subject. Now, if you're around any kings or queens whatsoever, anyone under them is called a subject. Why? Because they tend to the needs of the king or the queen. And not only do they tend to their needs, but they tend to the orders that are given to them. And so they're all subject to the king or queen. And that's the concept we have here. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, if we take a look here, another way to look at the word subject, I've got down here, is to yield. In other words, if you're driving on the road and you see a sign that says yield, you stop and wait till whoever else is going to go by.
Boy, I wish that knowledge would catch on.
Oh, especially Columbus.
Yeah.
Here, I think they all got their driver's permit, you know, from bumper cars down in Kings Island.
Oh, I thought it was a box of
Cracker Jacks. Hey, Joe?
Yes.
I stopped at one of those signs one time, and I got out, and I yielded, and ain't nobody listened to it.
Man, that's not how you say yell. Yeah, I'll pay you my services.
In fact, the night that they were picking me up from my apartment, Jenny and Joe, and they came around the corner, and this character was going, like, straight at them. Yeah. He didn't even move over, and he had no lights on.
Well, let's see, there were two lanes. You know, one lane's going this way, one lane's going this way. He made a third lane.
Yeah, sure did. Right straight up the middle of the road with no lights on.
Very creative.
I went out to Sears out there to pick up Mark Easter, and a truck just ran me off the road. He just came right over, and I was if I didn't stop and yield, I would have been dead.
I bet you didn't yield that time.
I like what that one. I like what that one guy put on his insurance claim. He said an invisible car came out of nowhere, struck him, and vanished into thin air. There's a great preacher around the 1920s called R.A. Torrey, and one of the things I like about R.A. Torrey. As in the 1920s, the Pope wore a hat with the number 666 on it, publicly.
Wow.
Wore a hat. And R.A. Torrey preached so hard against that hat, the Pope took it off and put it away.
Wow.
That is powerful preaching, guys.
For future use.
Huh?
For future use.
Oh, yeah, for future use.
I never heard
that. So, I mean, Wow, he got nailed. Well, he summarized the Christian life in one word. Yield. Yield. Whatever God tells you in the book, yield to him. Let God have his way. Okay, let's see. Okay, now notice in the text here it says higher powers. Higher powers. You have the higher powers and you have the lower powers. Two levels. And if we know the word of God, there's probably three. All right. Let's take a look at, there are at least three levels of power. Let's take a look at Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah 40:31. Who's got that one?
I'll take it.
All right.
Okay. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel.
That's not right.
Now,
it's Isaiah 40:31.
I got 43.
40:31.
That's a good verse to read.
Yeah, all good verses. We'll find a way to make it work.
Don't do that.
Okay, that's 40 what?
31, last verse.
Okay. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Yeah. There's actually two types of power in there. The one is spiritual, which we'll get to. But the other one I was trying to go for is the physical. The first is the ability of strength. And you notice in there, it says you're not just going to renew your spiritual strength, but in your walk with the Lord, you're going to have strength walking. But there's a physical strength. Each one of us here has some form of physical strength. All right? And in fact, when you watch football, you're watching physical strength go at each other. You know, same thing with baseball. Who's got the power to hit it over the fence? Basketball, who's got the power to zoop it up? It's all physical, every bit of it. And I read a book a long time ago on about ranks. And one of the stories in there dealt with the little kid on a tricycle, and the neighborhood bully comes by. Well, obviously the neighborhood bully is going to win. So the little kid got off his bike. All right, the physical strength. There's the ability of the physical strength. And you already know the story of David and Goliath. He was a little boy and a giant with gigantic strength. And it wasn't gigantic strength that slayed the giant. It was ingenuity, skill on how to throw a rock. Fascinating. But first power that we look at is the physical strength. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy 8:11. 1 Timothy 1:8-11. This is called the authority of ruling, which is the law. The authority of ruling. Who's got that one?
I can read that if you
like. Okay.
1 Timothy 1:8-11.
Correct.
But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully.
Yep.
Showing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my
trust. There you go. The authority of ruling, the purpose is to keep people in line. And if you notice in the verse there, it ended up with the gospel. We're to take the gospel to the groups that are lawless and help them to come to know Christ the Savior.
Yeah, I just mentioned that's one of the strong points in the debate that you might get in with an atheist or agnostic or whatever, is they admit, almost all atheists admit, that they fear what this world would be like without Christianity specifically.
Yes.
Not other religions, because in those other countries, if you see when those religions rule, it's terrible.
Correct.
But when Christianity is the predominant religion, not a church state.
Correct.
But when it's the predominant religion, which at one time was in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made this nation great. And even Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and some of these others who are called the New Atheists, area, they admit that they really fear what this world would be like without Christianity.
Yes.
They'd rather have Christians than, like, for example, Muslims.
Yes. Yes.
Because they know that the religion is doing.
Yeah. Well, here's something I shared with my family this morning. You know, if 38% of the churches are going to close in America, they're going to all reopen up as Muslims. Because they go around buying up all the empty churches at bargain prices. And it doesn't matter if they don't have a lot of people. At some point, they will overcome those communities. And we need to be in prayer that maybe those abandoned churches will be bought by Bible believers. And that's something we can pray for. Because Christ said, pray for laborers to go out in the harvest. You know, it's not going to hurt for us to pray.
Amen.
Prayer does not hurt. It's not obeying the Lord is what hurts. Then I've got Ephesians 6:10. We've got Ephesians 6:10.
Well, I guess I can. Ephesians 6:10.
Oh, wait, no.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Verse 12.
Okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yep. Again, why should we be subject to the higher powers? Keep the sin nature in line. And yet, we're going to be wrestling with the powers of darkness. And let's take a look at, so the three powers, there's the ability of strength, which is physical, the authority of ruling, which is done through the law, and then the last one is, I just call it the Almighty God. Let's take a look at Genesis 17:1. Third power is spiritual. Genesis
17:1.
No hands
went up. I got it.
Thank you,
David. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect.
Yep. The last is spiritual power. God said, I'm the Almighty God. Almighty means all-powerful. I think he says to Jeremiah, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard? He can do anything except sin. All right? I'm going to go ahead. I've got Isaiah 45, 18 to 19. And I'll go ahead and I'll do that one. Isaiah 45, 18, 19. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not under the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That is the spiritual power of God. He not only created everything, he created this world to be inhabited, and he declares what's right. It's not what the governments declare what's right. The Supreme Court over the last, 40 to 50 years, I've checked out the religion of them, and every single one of them has a religious denomination, and every single one of them has gone against the Word of God. Every single one of them. Now, if any of them are saved, they're going to be really sad-faced when they meet the Lord. Because how many people have they sent to hell by making wrong decisions? That is a heavy burden right there. He is the Almighty God. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 5:1-3, where he shares some of that power. 1 Peter 5:1-3.
I can do it.
Okay.
Yep. Elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples for the flock.
Correct. The all-powerful God that we serve has given the higher power to pastors, not for the purpose to rule over the flock, but to be an example of how we're supposed to live before the Lord. Incredible. That's what real spiritual power is supposed to be. When we take a look at, there's one other verse, and I'll read this one, John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Because of the grace and mercy of God, we get woven into the Spirit of God.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
You probably get some pushback on the comment you made there about the Supreme Court. And you said that all of them.
Oh, okay.
And we have to be careful using the sweeping. Because
you're correct.
Antonin Scalia. Clarence Thomas. There have been a few good ones.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that they were in a bad
religion. But the decisions that come out of the court have been.
Generally, yeah, the overall. The majority
correct.
Would vote against the, God. Well, there might be two or three who voted with the right.
Correct. And
I think that'd be an interesting study to look at the religion. Most of them are Catholic, I believe.
Yeah, right now, at one point there was 6 Catholic and 3 Jews.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the two groups that have persecuted Christians?
And the previous Protestants were part of like the Episcopal apostate version.
Correct.
And all that too.
Yeah. But yeah, I will take that back. But I said all. What I should have said is all that voted against the Word of God. Yeah. Because if it was 5-4, it's the 5, not
right,
the 4.
Right.
So that is a thank you for correcting that.
I just saved the email. Now,
yeah.
Send the email people.
There you go. Let Pastor Miller study other stuff, okay? Don't jam his emails. Okay. So, when we take a look at Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Obviously, this is the authority of ruling. The authority of ruling, governmental. And it says, for there is no power but of God. Now let's take a look at Psalm 62:11. Who's got Psalm 62:11?
Yeah.
twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God.
Yeah. Power belongs unto God. That's the spiritual power. I'll go ahead. Let's take a look at John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, and we'll show you an application. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Again, we're looking at the authority of ruling. And there's Pilate. He could either crucify Christ or he can release him. He's showing that power. And here's Jesus' answer in verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Here's Christ subjecting himself to this verse. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Christ is subjecting himself to Pilate. And Pilate has the law, but that's all he has. And if you guys notice, if you read further on down here, Pilate didn't even have that power. He had to go with the crowd because he was looking for honor from the crowd. And whenever you and I look for honor from the crowd, we'll always reject the Lord. Every single time. It's better to stand alone than to go along with the crowd that's crucifying Christ. It's okay to stand alone. Martin Luther, when the Reformation started, one man stood alone. What he did not know is that 90% of Germany was on his side. 90%! That's how the Reformation got started. How bad was it in Germany where everybody was waiting for one person to stand and say, I'm against it? Wow. Whatever faults Martin Luther had, I like the fact that he stood up against an evil power. Stood up against it, and we have the freedom today so far to declare the gospel of Christ. So always remember when you stand alone, you don't know who's out there saying, go for it, go for it.
Yeah.
All right? Learn to stand alone. God will bring the right people in your life at that point. Let's take a look at, says the powers that be are ordained of God. Let's take a look at John 15, 16.
All right, I guess it's my turn in the rotation.
Okay.
John 15, 16?
Yep.
All right. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Amen. Again, we're going to look at the word ordained. The powers that be are ordained of God. The word ordained comes from the word order. And I don't think there's a single person in here that hasn't gone to McDonald's and given an order. Johnny.
Just wanted to point out that I venture to say, as far as a modern comparison to that story of Martin Luther,
yep.
I'd say Trump is another example of that.
Correct.
And he stood up and look at how much of the country got behind him.
Correct.
Nobody was expecting him, but that many people got behind him.
Correct.
Because he stood up and tried to do something about it.
Yeah. And if you've watched politics at all, there are so many people out there that have no backbone. And when they do try to stand up, as soon as they get knocked over, they go down and don't get up again. There's so many things that need to be spoken out against. You'll crack up on this story out of France when they were beheading. Every time they beheaded a person publicly, they'd say, take it like a man. Take it like a woman. And so they would be silent. And then, of course, the blade would come down, chop the head off. One of the last people that they did before they stopped the guillotine was this lady. And they said, take it like a woman. And she yelled and she screamed at the top of her lungs. Yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed. And of course, then the blade came down. And what she didn't know at that time, I hope she was saved, but she was yelling and screaming. And what happened is it pierced the conscience of the people. It pierced their conscience. And they quit doing it. When you study the Word of God and you study Moloch, who God says, I hate Moloch. I hate it. What they would do is they would take the little babies and they'd throw them like some form of statue with an oven in it. And of course, you know, the little baby would be yelling and screaming. But what they would do is they'd have drums lined up on the side. And they'd beat the drums very hard. And what would happen when they beat the drums very hard, they could not hear the screams of the baby while it was burning to death. Now, guys, we have certain types of music where the drums are very loud. And what happens when you have music that's very loud is because the people have guilt, some form of guilt in their conscience. And when you hear that beating in the music, the guilt goes away. All right, be careful what type of music you listen to, because that type of music is in the churches today.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they do it before the service, so all the guilt is gone before the preaching starts. And now they have nothing to repent of. Okay, down to the 2 minute here. So the definition I come up with, ordained, looking at the Webster 1828 dictionary and comparing notes with notes. The word ordained means appointed to fulfill a function. Appointed to fulfill a function. And again, the text, the powers that be are what? Ordained of God for a certain purpose. There's such a deeper study when you go through Scripture and you study what's going on in our country. Study that out, and you will be very rich in the Word of God. Let's take a look at Mark 3:14, and then we'll end and I'll end with the last verse out of Peter. You've got Mark 3:14.
I got it. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach.
Excellent. He took the 12, ordained them. So what did he do? He appointed them to fulfill a function. And what was the function? Preach the Word of God. And let's take a look at our final scriptures out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Peter was going to be crucified by Nero. And let's see what he had to say. Starting with verse 13. Chapter 2. Verse 13 to 16. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Remember the authority of ruling. To every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The word sake means purpose. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Amen.
We are the servants of God. So, I guess we're down to the last minute. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's been great to be in your house. Thank you for this rich study out of your word. And I just pray, Lord, each and every one of us can understand that we do need to be subject to the higher powers. We may not like the higher powers that we see today, but we need to be obedient so you can carry out your purpose in our lives. Be merciful to us. Remember, Lord, our frames are but dust, and without you, we can do nothing. And without your mercy, Lord, there's no way we can be subject to anything. Help us this day to grow in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right on, my understanding.